Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Maya Norfleet. If you attended public schools in the U.S. anytime between kindergarten and 12th grade, and you have class photos from that time, there's a pretty good chance the teachers in those pictures are women, and that most of them are white. That aligns with Pew Research Center findings from surveys and federal data. Now, there has been an increase in the number of teachers of color over the years. That has not kept pace, however, with the racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic diversity of school kids across America. It also doesn't yet reflect a significant and growing body of research that suggests that academic outcomes improve when students learn from teachers who look like them and can relate to them. Top Tutors for Us, founded and based in St. Louis, aims to help Black students achieve beyond systemic biases by providing culturally competent tutoring sessions, like this one. In January, Parkway North High School freshman Braylon Baker had a test prep session with tutor David Lewis, who's from Detroit and is a senior at Harvard. As they ran through sample SAT questions, David asked Braylon about his goals for improving his SAT score.
Are you looking to continue playing basketball in college, maybe?
I would say probably yes, make it into like a pretty good college. And I want to get into some like engineering.
Okay.
So if basketball doesn't go well, because you can always get injured, hurt, or something in basketball, you might not make the team.
Right.
So you have a plan B.
Right.
Okay. Well, I would say engineering is really the plan A.
Okay, awesome. So when I was in high school, I actually also wanted to be an engineer. My dad was an engineer, and I was thinking of doing aerospace engineering. I know, deciding against it, but that was my thing too. Okay, so here is the SAT practice test number one. So we will now go ahead and try some practice problems.
Host Elaine Cha sat down with Angelica Harris in January. Harris is the founder and CEO of Top Tutors for Us, and she shared her company's approach to culturally competent teaching and what a difference it can make. Here's Angelica Harris.
Cultural competency means empathy, being able to understand someone else's experiences, perspectives, their upbringing and backgrounds. It forms it's a deeper level of connection.
Mm-hmm.
And at Top Tutors for Us, that was important, especially for our matching process, was to connect these students, typically from disadvantaged backgrounds, to tutors who look like them, who are doing successfully in college. And we look at a host of different features to find the perfect match for these students.
Mm-hmm. How is it that your personal experiences, particularly K through 12, how have they informed sort of the way that you approach the matching process and the focus of Top Tutors for Us?
Yeah. So I'm originally from New Orleans. I come from a very large family, and I was fortunate to attend a private school growing up. And I had a great education, but I did notice that I was very shy, did not feel super comfortable speaking in class. And most of my classes, I was the only Black student. So I did kind of, you know, just had some identity challenges throughout K through 12. And it wasn't really until I got to college where I had my first Black professor and really felt inspired and empowered to share my perspectives in rooms where I not, you know, I am the minority.
Mm-hmm. So that first Black educator that you were able to learn under, was there a particular subject that you were learning? I mean, did seeing someone who looked like you teaching that subject have an effect beyond what was happening in that course?
Yeah. So this was for specifically, I went to WashU. and it was for college writing. And so he was getting his doctorate already, and I just felt inspired because I just never had a Black teacher. And so I was like, wow, like he's in that space. He's doing great research. I kind of felt that, you know, if he can do it, I can do it. And he had just so much, you know, deep level articulation of our concepts. And so he actually really became a mentor to me. And I remember that he said, being different is an asset. So I, you know, carry that with me everywhere that, you know, if I'm, you know, typically I am the only one and I feel empowered to share my perspectives because it's typically different and new and, you know, and that versus what's traditional.
Mm-hmm. And when you say typically the only one, I mean, what kinds of contexts are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I studied business and engineering in college. So many times I was the only Black female, sometimes only female in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, just typically I would feel just overpowered by the guys. But, you know, just from having that, you know, early professor early on in my college career who, you know, who was just super confident in his skin and would come to work authentically, I felt empowered to, you know, do the same way, you know, in classes I would actively participate. That's something I just didn't do in high school. As I mentioned, I was just very shy and didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah. We'd like to invite you to join the conversation. Do you recall the first time you had a teacher whose background was similar to yours? What did that mean to you at the time? And what significance does it hold looking back on it now? Send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. Now, Angelica, you talked about empathy as being this kind of key or hinge for cultural competency. And in the audio that we heard of a tutoring session that was going on between a Parkway North high school student here and with a tutor who's from Detroit and is attending Harvard, what that empathy sort of feels like, what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's relating maybe over shared experiences. What are some of the other ways that that you know, based on the students and the tutors who've come through your program, what other ways do they empathize with one another?
Yeah, and it's just so important for students to have instructors who relate to them. I mean, there's so much data now that shows the positive impact on the students academically. For example, like when Black students have one or more Black teachers, their graduation rates increase by over 32%. And this is according to the National Bureau of Economic Research. They have higher attendance rates, scholarship acceptances, and just the list goes on and on. So at Top Tutors, and that's actually something I wish I had in high school, that I could, you know, could have a tutor, or, you know, who was doing something that I aspired to do and who looked like me. So we make that really easy, and that's our goal, to make it easy at Top Tutors. So we match based on, like, you know, David and Braylon, they both are African Americans. Not all the time is an African American match, but it's also based on you know, their upbringing. They're both from very urban cities, both from public schools, both from very similar socioeconomic backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And Braylon aspires to go to an Ivy League university one day, and David's already there at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's empowering. And so that's, we want to go beyond just test prep. We want to build these students' confidence that, you know, look, if he's doing it there, you can do it too.
Right. So outcomes, usually we're talking about numbers and academics. What other kinds of outcomes, positive ones, come from this pairing of students, particularly at the high school level, with tutors who can relate to them significantly?
Yeah, there's so much quantitative outcomes. And just, you know, we also just have to be mindful of, like, you know, sometimes, like, there might be biases or something where let's say a teacher might not understand, you know, might, I don't know, anything could, might assume that a student might not be qualified enough or for this particular class. And so they will, you know, put them in a remedial course rather than the advanced course. So it's just kind of, it's important for just representation, well, to have representation. And it's just a confidence builder for especially young people mm-hmm. when they can see role models, have role models in their lives.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Angelica Harris, who's the founder and CEO of Top Tutors for Us. That is a service that helps Black students study for school and standardized tests by pairing them with tutors who look like them and can relate to them. And you can join our conversation as well. When was the first time you had a teacher maybe of a different background or who was of a different race or gender from yours? What is it that you learned from them that you likely would not have learned otherwise? Send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. So I've brought up here in this engagement question someone who is different, right? Now, more often than not, Black students are in situations where they are working with educators of a different background, and you had touched upon biases that mm-hmm. can come up. What are some subtle ways that implicit bias can show up, you know, in the classroom or in test preparation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's super important to have representation. You know, we know that Black students have just higher suspension rates. So, you know, students just express themselves differently. Sometimes with their, you know, tones are different. Some tones come across from different cultures as might be aggressive when in reality, it's just that's the way they talk. So, mm-hmm. And in terms of standardized tests, you know, there has been a ton of pushback with, you know, the ACTs and SATs of, you know, being just a cultural barrier to especially marginalized communities. There's a linguistic barrier. I can even think about this math question, for example. It's around golf. Like golf was mentioned as the math example, but the concept that was testing on was about averages and stuff. But just students who never played golf, and golf is traditionally a white male sport, you know, they will see that and just get super intimidated by the question. So, Top Tutors, we really help students just block out that noise and just focus on, okay, what is this question? What's the concept that they're testing you on? So,
yeah. And I think when it comes to the intimidation, I have worked with students on test prep in the past. And that intimidation may not be, oh, golf, this is something that I don't play, but it's the recognition of the thing, and that can take from the time or the energy mm-hmm. that is spent on working on the problem mm-hmm. Because they're distracted by something that is not familiar to them. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about other aspects beyond race, of cultural competency, how is it that maybe in the work that you are doing, you're taking into consideration things like the areas in which they've grown up? So when you talked about Braylon and David, you said that they both went to public schools and that they were in very urban areas. Is there a consideration also for religious commonalities, maybe immigrant backgrounds?
Yeah, so we know that these groups, you know, well, people are multifaceted. So we look at a host, plethora of different features to make a pairing between the student and the tutors. You know, it's like I said, upbringing, socioeconomics, just their college and career goals. And we know certain groups do have different systemic barriers that they face. And so when we match, you know, disadvantaged students with these advantaged tutors who they're, you know, relatable, the tutor can offer like suggestions and have a different, have that perspective of like, okay, what can this student do to overcome those barriers that someone who's, you know, never had that experience might not be able to offer that same advice.
Mm-hmm. What percentage of the students you're working with and the tutors as well, perhaps, are coming in potentially being, you know, the first generation to go to college, or are themselves the first gen of college students and graduates?
Yeah, so top tutors for us, we actually partner with schools. Most of the schools are Title I, so actually over 90% of our students come from disadvantaged communities, and majority come from Title I schools. So roughly around 70% of our students are first gen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, that's pretty much, you know, a big reason why I founded it and know why it's just super needed, so these students can have a more personalized, tailored touch.
Mm-hmm. I do want to know a little bit about your experience with test preparation, because it is a stage that if you want to go to a university, that most likely you're going to need to go through. How did your own experiences around that prompt you to start this company?
Yeah. So in high school, though, I was a great student. I made mostly A's. My score actually in 11th grade was a 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I had really big goals to go to a top university. And so I was, you know, just obviously just really just taken aback by how could there just be such a big discrepancy. But I also noticed that the Black girls in my class also, we had, our scores were very low versus the white students were, their scores were in the upper 20s. So I know that there was this racial component disparity between our scores. So I then just tried out the big brand test prep companies. And when I went there, I was the only Black student in the class. It was led by a white instructor, white male instructor who was much older and is, mm-hmm. you know, mid-age. So just felt intimidated and my score did not improve in the course. So I decided to build my own test prep program and got my score up significantly, up over 16 points. And so that's how I ended up getting a full ride to WashU. And that experience inspired me to found Top Tutors to share mm-hmm. the program that I created.
Yeah. And I think what you've mentioned about the scholarship money
mm-hmm.
and having come from a large family, that really must have helped quite a bit.
Tremendously.
Yeah.
Was awarded over $1.5 million in college scholarships. And so even though now with a lot of universities going test optional, what we are seeing is that to get merit-based scholarships, students need test scores.
Mm.
So we had a student who he got into a university, a technical university, but he didn't have any scholarships and came from a single parent household. And so once we got a score, he went from a 17 to a 22.
Mm-hmm.
He was then awarded the merit-based scholarships and so had room and board paid for and tuition.
Right. Now, in the past year, Top Tutors for Us has served 4 times more students than in the past years, and the percentage of those students who scored more than 20 on the ACT increased from just 5% to 34% after completing your program. What are your plans for Top Tutors for Us moving forward?
Yeah, so my team and I have plans to expand Top Tutors for more partnerships with schools, nonprofit, college-bound organizations. So if, you know, if anyone's listening and has any of those partnerships or wants to discuss more, please reach out to us on our website, Top Tutors for Us. And secondly, we do, you know, this is an AI world now, and so we see generative AI playing a factor in our lesson building for students, our cultural competency matching. So that's ways where we feel that we can scale.
Mm-hmm. And just in our last minute and a half or so, how is it that you know that you are doing what you set out to do? Is there an anecdote that you can share very quickly about what this all looks like in real life?
Yeah, so it's the stories that when we see students get into their dream colleges or just receive scholarship money, that just fills my heart. I mean, so I went, like I said, I went to WashU and had engineering degrees and both in undergrad and grad school. So I had incredible job opportunities. But I mean, what I'm doing now is priceless. Yeah, I'm just really excited to just, you know, continue to impact the lives of students.
That was Angelica Harris, founder and CEO of Top Tutors for Us, which pairs Black students with Black tutors for culturally competent educational instruction. Elaine Child spoke with her in January. And before we go, we'd like your help with the show next week. Declining birth rates have become a nationwide phenomenon. And in the St. Louis area, that issue is coupled with population decline, leaving the region with the most severe population loss among major cities in the United States. So tell us, what keeps you in St. Louis? Why did you move here? And do you plan to leave? Email us at talk@stlpr.org. You can also leave us a voicemail. Call 314-516-6397. That's 314-516-NEWS. This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.